fighter, and that's the spirit, and that's the champion inside of Manny Pacquiao's heart.
Well, very well said. And I just want to reach out right now to all the podcasters that are getting the show now. Obviously, for everyone watching on Fight TV or on YouTube right now, you've seen that we've changed our set, and we got some new toys to play with, so everybody's getting to see Sal live what? Here. In my haste, Sal, as we were both up extra early today getting everything set up here to go live for the first time, I didn't start recording a podcast. So the guys that are tuning into the podcast are just getting the show now. Our topic today, just to get you caught up, Manny Pacquiao against Jeff Horn. Does it make any sense? And don't forget, you can drop us an email, Billy@Talkin, that's TalkinBoxing.com. If you take the time to send me an email, I'll take the time to read it. Like I'm going to read right now, I got an email, Sal. This one's from our buddy Joel. And Joel says, with David Lemieux getting the co-feature spot on Canelo Chavez Jr., do you think this fall we'll see, as you speculated on Wednesday, that Canelo and Lemieux will be next as long as Canelo beats Chavez in May? As you said on the last show, both are Golden Boy fighters, so it's an easy fight to make. Joel says, I assume Triple G will look for maybe a fight with Billy Joe Saunders, but I feel Canelo will wait until age catches up with Triple G before he takes him on. What are your and Sal's thoughts? And he's got another question here, but I'll respond to that first. And then Sal, I think that's what's happening. And we did talk about it on the last show. And I do believe that, providing both fighters get past their opponents. Now, I would think that David Lemieux is going to have an easier go of it than Canelo. I think Canelo's in a tough fight with Chavez Jr. But the key part of this question from Joel is, is Canelo waiting for Triple G to age? And my opinion is yes. I think that they are realizing that, and especially if you take a look and dissect the last several performances, performances, even including the overwhelming victory, when he destroyed Kell Brook. Kell Brook exposed some things with Triple G that Daniel Jacobs took advantage of. Whether the word expose is correct or not, but it could be a sign of starting to age. And Canelo is so young that time is actually on his side. So yes, the answer is yes. But my hang-up is that these guys have a tendency to wait too long to so-called marinate a fight. I think that the public wanted to see that fight. If Triple G goes on to fight Billy Joe Saunders and collects the belt, the last belt that he doesn't have, what else does he have left to prove? I think, and especially if Canelo loses to Julio Cesar Chavez, it's all for naught. What do you think, Sal?
I think you hit it on the head. And, Canelo's taking a page right out of the Floyd Mayweather book as far as letting a fighter age a little bit before your eyes and wait a little bit. I think that Canelo is a young fighter. He's still, it's hard to say, we don't like to go here, but he's still looking to hopefully grow with his style and improve and where he can. And he can. I mean, when he moves those feet, he's got to keep his body and his punches underneath his feet and sit on those punches when he delivers them, and he could punch side to side and move and jab. He's trying to work on that, I'm sure, as we're talking. But I think he's looking for every angle to get in a ring with Triple G. And because right now, if they were to get in a ring, I'd put my money, everything, on Triple G.
Yeah, well, I put my money on Triple G, too. I'm starting to think about putting some money on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Against Canelo, to be honest with you. But Joel says, lastly, do you and Sal think Pacquiao will definitely ultimately, I can't see or read or even hear today, will ultimately face Jeff Horn since he's been left out in the dust since the matchup with Khan? It never materialized, or can Aram find someone different? And he also wants to know when the next post-fight show will be. It looks like the next post-fight show will most likely be the Andre Berto, Sean Porter fight, which is in a couple of weeks, unless there's a significant fight between now and then. There are some decent fights coming up, but I'm not so sure if it's more significant than Berto Porter, if you even call that significant. Definitely Klitschko. I think that the Horn fight is going to happen. I think Manny Pacquiao is going to fight Jeff Horn. That is our topic today. We're going to open up the phone lines here in a couple minutes, but I think that that's going to be the case, even though I don't think that I'm not so high on that fight. I mean, I like you were saying earlier, Sal, I agree with you. I think the only fight I really care to see Manny in is with Floyd as a rematch and with no excuses this time, and see that fight. Otherwise, I don't care. I don't care about either one of them fighting. I think we should focus on the young kids and move forward. I mean, what do you think?
Well, that's exactly my words right out of my mouth. You know, Floyd Mayweather, he's not going to fight Conor McGregor. So get that out of your mind. That's not going to happen unless there seems to be a chain of events where Conor gets in the ring, has a couple preliminary fights, and does it right. But I don't see that happening. And I think Floyd, you know, why should he come back and challenge himself against going into the ring with Triple G? That would be a hell of a fight. I think that Floyd, you know, likes to be on the sideline right now, likes to throw in his two cents, likes to stir up the media a little bit with his talk and reporting news of him coming back or doing something. So I think he's doing well just where he is right there. And I could only see it becoming an event if Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather sit down at the bargaining table and say, hey, let's do this again. Let's do it right. I have no excuses, and let's get it on. So, but other than that, I have no desire to see either fighter fight. I really don't. And the night we were at the restaurant showing that fight, you know, I was rooting for Manny Pacquiao, but I knew in my heart of hearts that Floyd Mayweather had the style to beat Manny Pacquiao, not once, not twice, but pretty much majority of the time they fight. And I said that night, I said, I will not buy a rematch because I was disappointed. It was so anticlimactic. And then the shoulder excuse and everything else came out. But after I have steamed over it and looked at it, I would buy and I would bring in to the restaurant a Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather rematch. Yes, I would.
Well, then
I have no desire to see him fight anybody else.
Then they might as well do it, right?
Absolutely. I think I'm going to write them a letter.
Yeah. Some other news I wanted to talk about real quick. It was announced, you know, the other day, it was announced that Luis Ortiz was going to be added to the undercard of Andre Berto, Sean Porter. That's on April 22nd. That's another reason I wanted to do a post fight. And 2 days ago, they were looking for the opponent. Yesterday, they announced the opponent. It's going to be Derek Rossi. So you're going to have Luis, the real King Kong Ortiz, undefeated at 27-0, 23 of those wins coming by knockout, taking on the always tough New Yorker from Long Island, Derek Rossi, who's sitting at a 31-12 record with 15 knockouts. It's going to be a fight that's scheduled for 10 rounds. Wow. And they also announced that Amanda Serrano is also going to be on that card. You know, I guess they are trying to lean more towards female boxing. I mean, I've had the luxury of calling several of Amanda's fights, but to be quite honest, I just don't like the level of opposition they've been putting her in against. And as far as Ortiz against Derek Rossi, what does this fight show? I mean, you know, no disrespect to Derek Rossi, but he's on the rise. Luis Ortiz is one of the top, you know, four or five heavyweights in the world, just biding his time for a title shot. I don't see why, you know, other than just to stay busy, that he fights Derek Rossi. But Derek Rossi is a dangerous opponent. I mean, you know, I was ringside in Denmark when Derek Rossi basically got robbed from Kubat Pulov. You know, he's a dangerous guy, and he looks like he's in fantastic shape. You know, what's your thoughts on a risky fight? And I say risky not because, you know, Derek Rossi, no disrespect, isn't, you know, I'm not saying that he's a world beater, but it's kind of risky. I mean, he suffers a head cut or, you know, some kind of gash or unintentional butt or something that might hinder him in a more meaningful fight. And remember, Ortiz is, you know, he's on the high end of 30. He's in his late 30s, Sal.
I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. So am I. I think it's as you said, they're taking a calculated risk, and that's what fighters do at times when they see what is going to be their benefit after the fight. Each fighter thinks they're going to have a victory that night, and which fighter is going to benefit from that victory and how they perform. I see Rossi's a tough, durable fighter, and we know that. And Ortiz, yes, he is up there in age, and he still has a lot of horsepower, but, you know, it is a calculated risk that he's going to enter the ring and gets a younger, tougher, tough guy.
Hey, listen, Sal, let's take a short break, and when we come back, I got a lot of, just a couple other little news tidbits, and then we're going to open up the phone line. So, Sal
sounds
and I...
great. I'm going to go get a refill of coffee in my Billy C. face mug.
I know. You're going to have to show that in a minute. We'll be back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show. We'll be right back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning. Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you could join us. And again, I want to give an apology to the podcast listeners that are obviously not listening live, but they missed the first part of the show. But we got you caught up with that, so don't worry about that. But I'm here with Sal Rocky Santacola, who's ready to spill his coffee all over. You can see it very clearly because he's blind.
Can you?
And he's writing, and you know, he's ready to spill. Look at the size of the... And he's got a Billy C mug, apparently. But there it goes.
Look at it.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Oh, yeah, that's got the same nose as me.
Are you smiling?
Okay, you're dead to me now, Sal. But I tell you, you know, when Sal says he's got to get a cup of coffee, I didn't think he had to go to the gas pumps to fill that damn thing up. What is that, a 5-gallon coffee cup?
It's a quart of coffee, maybe. I don't know, but I don't have to get up as much during the show.
Jesus, I'm surprised.
It's a mug. That's a mug, and this is a mug.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have to get up to use the bathroom more often with that. But anyway, it was signed, sealed, and delivered. We were talking about it earlier in the week, and that was Terrence Crawford, still undefeated, who's currently the WBC and WBO World Junior Welterweight Champion. He's going to be taking on Felix Diaz, once beaten Felix Diaz, May 20th at Madison Square Garden. So we were talking about that early in the week. It was made official. So we will keep you posted on that. But today we wanted to talk a little about A couple of things. First and foremost, Manny Pacquiao going up against Jeff Horn. Do you like the fight? I mean, you know, does it? I mean, what's it prove? I mean, what's it doing for Manny Pacquiao, if anything, aside from, you know, giving him a couple extra bucks in his account? And, of course, the most recently announced fight, Luis Ortiz added to the Andre Berto Sean Porter fight card April 22nd. And Ortiz is taking on Derek Rossi. What's your thoughts? Let's open up the phone lines. 845-228-8710. And we'll get your thoughts on that one. But Ortiz and Derek Rossi, what do you think, Sal?
I tell you, it's a risky fight for Ortiz. And I think Rossi has a lot to gain by it if he comes out there and looks strong and dominates and ultimately wins. And he could do so, very much so.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean.
He's got the tools.
Well, Derek Rossi is a tough out. There's no question about that. But I don't know.
Easy.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I would think that he would give. I don't know. I think he would give Ortiz a go at it. I really
I
do.
Think he would.
But anyway. We got a caller on the line right now, and I believe that it's my man Dax. What's up, Dax? Is that you, Dax? Well, I guess we can't hear Dax's sound there. Sal, are you still? Am I hearing you?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I guess.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I guess. Let me just.
Is there
see
a mute
something.
Button somewhere?
Yeah, are you there now, Dax? I guess we're having okay. So we're finding some errors here. Sal, sounds like we can't receive the callers the way I would.
Want me to try and call you?
The way I don't. It's okay. I will work on that. So sorry, we wanted to open the phone lines, but I guess we just found a little old bug in the system. So
a little glitch.
We will find that out. That's a little I don't know what that is, but we'll see what happens there. Are you there now, Sal? Dax?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
All right, I can hear you now.
All right, good. Why don't you switch that back over to Sal, you know, so I don't have to look at your mug.
I can't, because now we got to look at your phone number. You know, now you're going to look at my mug, because since you're on, I can't switch to Sal, because we got your mug on there. So what's up? What do you think?
Oh, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here. So what do you think?
All of a sudden, there was a lot of silence, and I was like, God, the call drop already?
No, we didn't drop. But what's your thoughts on Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn, first of all?
You know, it's disappointing. I mean, Jeff Horn, he doesn't have a lot of fights, but he's a tough guy. He has pop, definitely, in his punches. You know, Manny, as we always talk about, every, you know, at any point in time, he can age overnight. Manny has been known in the past to be caught by one big shot. And, you know, if he should retire, or, you know, win or lose, you go out after having such a career with a guy with, you know, only 9 fights. That really hurts you. Well, you know, when the people in the future will look back on your resume, you know, the last thing they're going to see is exactly how you ended your career. You know, even though Muhammad Ali lost his last 2 biggest fights to Trevor Burbick and Larry Holmes, you know, imagine how much different it would have been if he would have retired after the Leon Spinks loss and didn't win that title back. You know, it would have just totally changed sort of his dynamic and his legacy.
Yeah, I agree. What about the Ortiz matchup with Derek Rossi?
That's, you know, they're not doing anything better for him than Golden Boy was. You know, going, somebody was asking about the PBC, is he with the PBC? You know, the PBC, a lot of guys you know, from all kinds of promoters fight on there. That's how we seen Carl Frampton for the first time here in the States, is when he fought on the PBC. I mean, Showtime obviously doesn't think too much of it, because actually last night or the day before, they sent out a promo announcing that he was going to face Derek Rousey, and they spelt it like Ronda Rousey. So, you know, it's a shame, because Ortiz, being, I think he's 38 now, he only has a year or two left. They should at least get this guy a couple big fights and then, you know, let him go on his way, because, again, he's going to age overnight. He hasn't really been in there with the top guys as of late, and that was supposed to be his whole reason for going overseas, and they've done no better for him. So it is what it is. Obviously, what they're doing is they're trying to push these guys out, and they're just, you know, hoping that, you know, this new crop is going to come in here, and they're just going to change around the whole dynamic of that division. The heavyweight division has lacked for so many years, mainly due to Vladimir Klitschko being so dominant, that, you know, now they're trying to get some excitement in there, and Luis Ortiz just doesn't really fit that dynamic.
Well, you know, he's had his ups and downs. Sometimes he looked great. I remember seeing him ringside at the Turning Stone. He was great. But not so much lately. But anyway, well, you helped us uncover a little glitch here that we got to repair, Dax. So I appreciate that. And we'll be looking forward to you on Monday, my man.
All right. And just before we go, you know, this weekend, your opinion, Sal's opinion, see what everybody else has to say. You know, this weekend, Hatton Boxing is actually going to stream a fight card. Last week, Star Boxing, they streamed the fight card live on Facebook. This seems to be something that more promoters are getting into. I know that now a lot of times what you can find on Facebook are these big pay-per-views where people are pointing a camera towards them and they're playing them for free, and you have everybody gathered around and they're watching them and they're trying to get around this $69, $79 pay-per-view fees. You know, do you think this is good for the sport or bad for the sport that these promoters are starting to stream this on Facebook? Are they really starting to incorporate the dynamics of social media? Or you know, is this guys that are sitting there throwing their towel in, saying, you know what, one way or another they're going to get around it? Or, you know, do these guys are they onto something here? Do they know something that the other guys should have possibly been done a long time ago, considering how social media right now is the way to go? That's how everything is promoted nowadays, is through social media.
First of all, technology is changing so rapidly. I think they're just trying to take advantage of that, which, you know, you give them kudos for. As far as the social media aspect, you know, yes, a lot of people are going social media 100%, which I don't think is correct right now, especially for selling tickets. To rely on, you know, Facebook, for example, and the friends that you have, I mean, some promoters are falling flat. I still think they need to get out there and sell tickets the old-fashioned way. But eventually, it will be all social media. And I think that the fact that, you know, they're trying to do these streams themselves, I think they're just trying to avoid production costs and everything else. I think the biggest part of this, and this is a great question, Dax. I love it. I think the biggest part of this is what the consumer, what the viewer is accepting. They're accepting more of these, and I'm going to make this what I used to look at, like bootleg recording. You know, like you said, somebody holding their phone, recording something, and then streaming it live. You know, once the consumer, once the viewer accepts that quality, all bets are off. And I think that that's what's happening now, you know. So a great point. I appreciate that big time, brother.
Maybe, you know, a counterpoint to that, Bill, is the smaller cards with some of the guys, you know, they're newer fighters, the guys that only have 6, 7, 8 fights, you know, showing them for free and kind of building an audience for them. Now, remember that, you know, the UFC, the biggest competitor for boxing, hands down, there's no way around that. They built that whole company off of the internet and off of social media. That's how they became such a phenomenon.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And, hey, boxing, you know, a degreed factor, Dax, you know that. But
and this is true. And some history for our show. 1 year ago today, our topic was, is boxing to make head blows illegal? And today in 2012 and last year in 2016, just like it is today. It was raining and miserable, and on April 2nd, which is coming up Sunday, it snowed. Last week we have a nor'easter, so is anybody besides me starting to see this trend of miserable weather?
I know the almanac does, because I get it every year. They're more accurate than the weather guys. They didn't know up until...
I talk about that all the time.
I know.
I mention that all the time. Whenever somebody gets into this conversation of weather, I says, me and my buddy Billy, I says, whenever it comes to weather, we start talking about the almanac, and you know what? As everybody's sitting there surrounded around the Weather Channel, me and Bill pretty much already know it's coming because we read the almanac in January.
It's funny, but you know, the almanac had this day. The guys were waiting to predict the snow that we're getting right now. We're supposed to get up to a foot today, and they were waiting around. It could be rain, it could be sleet, it could be snow. We don't know. It's going to be anywhere from 29 to 40 degrees. Well, guess what? It's going to the snow direction. But Dax, great point. And we'll be.
You need an almanac, you know. Back then, the farmers had to predict stuff because if their crops went bad, the family went hungry for the rest of the year. Maybe fighters and promoters should start paying attention to some of these almanacs, and they would, you know, do whatever they can to avoid their career going in the toilet, because these guys keep making the same mistakes, career after career after career, decade after decade after decade. So maybe they need to take a picture out of the farmer's book.
Here we go, Dax. We'll talk to you
All
later,
right,
my man.
All right, everybody, enjoy the weekend.
That's Dax Khan making up. He had a real good topic that we were discussing about the social media aspect of what's going on with all of that. So anyway, I'm going to try to see if we can't get my man Sal back here in a second. So. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a short break. So I'll be back in two.
The Billy C. Morning Show will be right back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-567-0214, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-567-0214. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-567-0214. That's 800-567-0214.
Check out BillyCBoxing.com now, or feel the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Oh, that hurts. Why are you doing that to my face? I hate you. I hate you.
That's BillyCBoxing.com. Consider this your warning. Now, back to the Billy C. Morning Show. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Billy C. Show. Glad you are with us. And we are experimenting with some new stuff here, new toys. And I think I got Sal back. Are you there, Sal?
You do. And I was gone for a while. I just didn't hear anything. And I thought I was experiencing the wrath of the mighty mustache.
Hey, you might have been. You know, but we're going to blame it on Dax, because when he called in...
He called it on drop.
Well, no. What happened was I gotta make some corrections here. So, I hope we didn't just uncover something that we won't be able to do. We'll work on that. But you know, I don't know if you heard what Dax was saying, Sal, but he made a really good point about the way it seems that promoters are going now. A lot of these promoters are. And it kind of affects what we do, but a lot of promoters are going directly with very low-end, low-quality broadcasts of their events. They're doing it themselves, streaming them up on social media, and you know, the viewer base seems to be accepting that versus the traditional, you know, TV quality coverage. Do you think, you know, that this is going to become the norm, or do you think, you know, technology is changing so fast and rapidly that it's going to become TV quality faster than we realize? What's your thoughts on that? It was a great great question from Dax.
Great question from Dax. I'm sorry I missed it on the initial run, but I'll tell you what. I think he's right on, and I think quality will improve. It always does with technology. It's got to. That's what they do. They fire for effect. They constantly build on it and build on it until they have perfected it. So I think they'll strive to do that, and it'll take a little time, but they'll get it. And again, boxing is business. Media is business. So they're going to look to attract the masses however they can for the least amount of money. It's just supply and demand and just about the cost of the buck and sharing it. So I think if they're onto something that's good for their pocketbook and expands their base and fan base, and maybe at the end they're going to loop everybody into a net, who knows? I don't know. But I think Dax made a great point.
Yeah, you know, he certainly did. And you know, having me personally being in the IT field for so long, and you know, having a handle on you know, this technology and how quickly it's changing and evolving, it's no surprise. I mean, if you think about it, you know, we weren't even talking about the possibility of streaming, you know, a couple of years ago. And you know, even when we did events and we were shopping them around, and we were, you know, one of the first through LDL TV, we were one of the first companies to offer streaming. And you know, when you bring it to a TV network, they wanted it from a satellite truck, because you know, their terms and technologies were all based on, you know, what was TV ready. And now, I mean, it's pretty obvious that those feeds, whether it's coming from a satellite or a plug, are all going through the internet. And I think people are finally realizing it. I mean, once you start seeing, you know, news broadcasters and correspondents being broadcast live on network television through fuzzy connections that looks like somebody's holding their cell phone, and people are accepting it, I think that changed the game. What do you think?
I think so too, and I think we all owe Al Gore a big congratulations, and you know, for inventing the internet.
We got a question from a Twitter person, Sal, and it's directed
Twitter
towards you. And we want to thank Dax for keeping the social media people relevant to the show.
Does a great job.
Sal, another Sal,
yes,
wants you to give your thoughts. What's worse? And I know my thoughts on this question, but he wants to know, what's worse, being stopped by a headshot or being stopped by a body shot?
Tell you what, no fighter, whoever steps in a ring, wants to admit that their midsection's soft or they got penetrated and they're out with a shot. No fighter wants to get stopped, period. But if you're getting stopped, I would choose to get stopped with a big, bad, thunderous headshot, which is probably a lot more damaging in the long run than a body shot. But you know, a body shot, I'll never forget. I have etched in my mind when Jerry Cooney fought Kenny Norton, and he hit Ken Norton with a thunderous left hook. Norton was on the ropes, and he just dug deep into Kenny's liver, and man, Kenny went down and he was counted out. It was a thunderous body shot, and it was nothing. It was paralyzing. And my thought would be a headshot.
You know, I would have guessed that you would have said headshot. I mean, you're right. A headshot obviously has,
I mean, we have pride. You're in the ring. Yeah.
Well, a headshot obviously has the potential of, you know, being coming back later in life or having longer, you know, term effects on you. Not that a solid body shot couldn't, you know, pulverize a kidney or a liver or something like that. But for the moment, a body shot is so, I mean, a headshot, you know, if it's administered correctly, you could wake up and go, what happened, and not remember anything, you know. And a body shot, though, you're laying on the ground feeling like you wish somebody would put a bullet in your head, right?
What am I going to do? Have a lot of fans saying, well, I guess he didn't do many sit-ups, or just caught him at the right
moment. Yeah, but wait a minute. It doesn't have anything to do with the sit-ups, right?
That.
I mean, sometimes it's the position, right?
The generic public has really no idea. The generic, not the fight fan, but, you know, it doesn't really have much to do with the sit-ups or this and that. It's just tightening that body and getting it ready and, you know, and feeling those shots. Oh, God.
you feel yourself. I think that, you know, and a lot of misconceptions with body shots is, you know, you need one right in the old breadbasket right down the pike. But obviously we've learned that, you know, the body work on the sides are more damaging. So anyway, we've been having some fun today playing around, and obviously we have some more tweaking to do, Sal. But I will tell you this. I think there's a lot of solid and a lot of upswing to what we're going to be producing here, you know, from here on out. And I want to give everybody a little bit of heads up on the news. We are in the process of finalizing a deal where we will become available via all the Dish networks. That's right, DirecTV and Dish Network, and there's a third one too, which I can't think of right now, Sal. But you know, it must have been the headshot you gave me last time I was down there. But I'm going to give the official announcement. It's a new channel called Ring TV, and look for it for your television providers. We will be on it sooner than later, and we will keep you posted on that. Sal, what's your thoughts on us ever continuing to expand?
Well, this is the journey that we're taking. It's the pathway, and I believe I'm excited, Bill. Come on, this is great. I love this. You know, we're getting different formats. We're expanding, and hopefully the fans like what we try to say and deliver to them. And you know, we're doing it. I love it because I love being part of your show. It's fantastic, and thank you.
Well,
and
we
continue marketing it where it's going to be beneficial.
We are hoping that the schedule gets a little busier. One last thing I wanted to mention here before we wrap it up today. We are going to be coming back for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, pretty soon. So everybody keep your eyes open for that. May start as soon as Monday. And we'll be bringing some other things back and adding some of these other things that feature the show that we were talking about. And a lot of them are ideas that you guys sent to us that you think we might have forgotten, but we haven't. We've just been waiting. Sometimes, you know, things take time. But before we wrap up the show, baseball season's going to be starting. And
can't
one of the
wait.
Things, yeah, I can't wait either. One of the things we will be doing is doing all this baseball scores from the previous night. We'll get them out of the way quickly on the show, so we'll get you caught up on that. And any big, you know, Major League Baseball news will pass along. So keep you posted for that. And Monday, Sal. My Metsies, the Yankees kick off Sunday, but the Mets kick off Monday in New York at 11:30. They're hoping that the weather's going to be good. What do you think about an 11:30 baseball game start?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't like it. You have an opinion. It's a little too early. I'm not going to watch it. I like a little afternoon, late afternoon or early evening. That's what I'm used to.
I am going to watch it. You know,
I know you are. I know
because
you
I'm
are.
A Mets fan. You know, we're
you
crazy
are a
like
diehard
that.
Diehard Mets fan.
We're crazy like that. But hey, Sal, on this day in boxing history, March 31st, the last day of March, if you will. First of all, my man, one of my favorite fighters of all time, was born on this day. Jack Johnson, former world heavyweight champion and boxing Hall of Famer, was born on this day in 1878. So he's only a year older than you, Sal.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
1 year older. That's it. That's
one
amazing.
1 year old. Yes.
Anyway.
Thank you very much.
On this day in 1980, Eddie Gregory knocks out Marvin Johnson in the 11th round to win the WBA World Light Heavyweight title. It took place on Tennessee. On this day in 1990, Terry Norris knocks out John the Beast Mugabe in the very first round to win the WBC World Junior Middleweight title. It took place in Tampa. On this day in 1984, Wilfredo Gomez wins a 12-round decision over Juan Laporte to win the WBC World Featherweight title. It took place in Puerto Rico. On this day in 2003, Rosendo Alvarez wins a 12-round decision over Bibas Mendoza to win the vacant world and retain the WBA World Junior Flyweight titles, and that took place in Little Rock, Arkansas. On this day in 1980, Mike Weaver knocks out Big John Tate in the 15th round to win the WBA World Heavyweight title, and that took place in Knoxville, Tennessee. And finally, on this day, March 31st in 1973, Kenny Norton wins a 12-round split decision over the greatest, Muhammad Ali, to win the NABF heavyweight title. Norton broke Muhammad Ali's jaw in the very first round, and Ali went on to box the entire 12 rounds, something you don't see too often today with the heart of the fighters of yesteryear. But Sal, any final thoughts from you, my man?
No, I think we definitely have this format. I love it, and we'll look to constantly improve on it. So thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Yes, we will.
Yes,
so,
we will.
I'll leave everyone with this. Make sure you tune in Monday morning, same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby.